Good morning. Welcome to church. A special welcome to those who are visiting today for the first time or for the first time in a long time, or for those listening online at home. My name is Diane. Helping me in today's service, we have our musicians, Rosemary, Young Lan and Linda, and Adele on keyboard. Oh, there she is. Reading to us from the Bible will be Lynn, and leading us in prayer will be Rosemary. And Trevor, of course, will bring our Bible teaching this week. Now, we here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way according to his word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. Again today we're looking back at some of the basics. How do I know I am right with God? And we'll be focusing on a few verses from Ephesians today that Lynn will bring us later. So I look forward to continuing in this series. And our mission focus, as a reminder for you, is SRE, which is Special Religious Education. And that's in two local schools as far as our church is concerned, but of course more broadly across the state. And then we have also the Anglican School Chaplaincy Program, where both teachers and students get support from a chaplain, which is a wonderful cause. So if you see the envelopes at the end of your rows, you feel free and want to donate to that, you can do that. Our sentence of scripture for today: because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Now, our first song is one that we're actually going to sing twice today because we think it's such a good one. We're going to start with this one. Hand it over to the music team.
Let's all stand and let's begin by singing, "We Are His People." This reminds us exactly what Aunt Diane just read out in Scripture, that we are saved through faith. It is by grace we are saved.
From us
needed. We have come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sin in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together these words. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and rejected our will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards us, towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done.
Know what this game could be? Got any ideas yet? What this game might be? What do you reckon, Ollie? Do you think you know what it is? Oh, it could be. No, it's not soccer. I'll give you another clue. Well, there's chasing and there's tagging as we're going around. Still any more ideas? All right, what about if I do this? Do you know the game? Stuck in the mud. Well done, eh? Oh, there you are. Well, I didn't see you over there. Well, I knew you'd know the answer up the back there. Stuck in the mud. Who's ever played stuck in the mud when you were a child? Good. Everyone played as an adult. It is pretty tricky, Ollie. It is a tricky game. Especially, I would have liked to think that it was played originally in the mud. Could you imagine playing stuck it in the mud? In the mud. That'd be awesome, I reckon. My mum's not here to tell me no, it would not be, Trevor. That's right. But yeah, when you're playing stuck in the mud, the rules are this, right? There's a set boundary, and then someone's in and chases you around. And if you get tagged by them, well, then you're stuck in the mud. You're stuck like this, and you can't rescue yourself. You're stuck. You're there. And so you part your legs a little bit like that so that a person can go through them. And the only way that you could possibly get free was to call out, simply just to call out to someone who's not caught, who's managing to outrun everybody else and not get caught, and choose to actually rescue you, right? And the way that they have to rescue you, do you know what they have to do? They have to crawl through the mud. So you can make you can understand this. Not only is the person who's going to rescue you going to get messed up along the way, all right, but they also have to choose to actually do that for you, all right? So all the person can do who's stuck has to call out, help, help, help. Person who's free, running around, unable to be caught, has to choose and say, oh, Trevor, I think I'll rescue him. Oh, no, I'm going to get messy. And so they get messy. And whilst they're getting messy, they're vulnerable. They're very vulnerable going through there in the mud. And they could get caught during that time. But at the end of the game, playing in the mud, you still go home muddy, all right? And Mum has to get the Omo out, all right? And it's pretty messy at that time. But the game Stuck in the Mud is a really good way of understanding the gospel. And today we're thinking about, in our kids' time, our young people's time, and in our adult time, about, well, how can I be right with God? What is this gospel? Going back over the basics. Now, you might say, oh, I know what the gospel is, but I want to say, do you? Do you know what the gospel is? Because the gospel's really important for actually helping, being told by God to share it with others and to remind yourself. You see, the gospel is how we are right with God, how we are made right or friends with God. And the Bible tells us that we're all stuck in the mud of our sin. We are by nature objects of God's wrath. We don't deserve to be made friends with God. We're stuck. And there's no way that we can actually, by our good works, our being nice to everybody, paying lots of, doing all good things, all bad things, can save us and rescue us. We simply have to call out to God. And you know what? God has to choose to have mercy upon us and actually come to our aid and then go through and get messed up in order to rescue us. And you see, the way in which Jesus did rescue us from the wrath of God and from being separated from God forever is by dying on the cross for us. But how do I know that that was effective for me? By him rising from the dead 3 days later. He's coming back again to see who's actually put their trust in this work of Jesus. So the gospel is a great way, stuck in the mud, is a great way in to explain how we're right with God, how we can be friends with God, the gospel. We're stuck in our sin. We cannot make ourselves friends with God. No good works, no nothing is good enough. If it was, answer this question. Why did God come amongst us in Jesus and do everything that he did if it was up to you and me to make ourselves friends with God? All right? Jesus was the perfect one. He did it all for us. Died on the cross and rose from the dead. And now, for all who put their faith in this personal work of Jesus, God opens his arms and welcomes us in. And I trust that's what you've done yourself, both young and old. So we're going to stand and sing one of our kids' songs, and it's called God is a Holy God. So let's stand and send some actions as well so we get a little bit of exercise this morning. Here we go. Firstly, let's say the memory verse. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God.
God is a holy God.
God is a holy God.
We can't be friends because of our sin.
We can't be friends of our sin.
God is a holy God.
God is a holy God.
We can't be friends because of our sin.
We can't be friends because of our sin.
Jesus died to wash us clean. When we put our trust in him,
God opens his arms and welcomes us.
please take a moment now to turn around to the people next to you and say, good morning, welcome to church. The Lord be with you and also with you. And the young people will go off to their little Bible study time now. You too, dear Glenn.
We're coming to our time of our Bible reading, so let's pray before that. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. You can open the Pew Bibles on page 1174. It will be on the screen, or you can read it in your news and notes.
I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from ourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church again. It's good to see you all. Let me pray to start with. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together here this morning, both young and old, and some of us may be long in faith and been Christians for many years. Some of us may have been Christians just recently. What joy. And some may be here just wanting to make sure that they know that they can be right with God. And it's good for us as Christians too, Father, to be reminded of the basics, to be reminded of how we are right with you. Because we can so easily fall into the trap of thinking that we're not. And so, gracious Father God, help me to teach your word correctly, and may we experience your spirit guiding us into truth. May we be allowing ourselves, Father, to learn and to grow. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is the gospel? Well, we read in the Bible from Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, these words. Paul says to the church in Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And so firstly, the gospel is something for not to be ashamed of. Why? Because it's what God uses, it's his power to bring people, to bring you to being right with God. It's what God used to actually make us friends with God forever, to all who believe. You may be familiar with John 3:16, and again, we all know this verse, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. How do you remind yourself of how you're right with God? What verses do you go to? What verses do you go to if a family or a friend member asks you, well, why do you go to church? Why do you believe what you believe? Where do you turn to that? What are the things that we have? There are many little ways to help us, to remind us of the gospel. And one little thing that I find really helpful is to put on my phone an app, which is Two Ways to Live. And I'm going to show it to you here now. It's coming up on the screen. Some old faces that you may remember and from days gone past are going to present it to us. It's, again, just a reminder of the gospel. So let's listen in.
Two Ways to Live can be used in a variety of ways and in a variety of forms, but it's important to know the basic underlying outline. Here it is, including the diagrams that go along with it.
The text of Two Ways to Live. God is the loving ruler of the world. He made the world. He made us rulers of the world under him. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Revelation 4:11. But is that the way it is now? We all reject the ruler, God, by trying to run life our own way without him. But we fail to rule ourselves or society or the world. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Romans 3:10-12. What will God do about this rebellion? God won't let us rebel forever. God's punishment for rebellion is death and judgment. Man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, Hebrews 9:27. God's justice sounds hard, but because of his love, God sent his Son into the world, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus always lived under God's rule. Yet by dying in our place, he took our punishment and brought forgiveness. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. 1 Peter 3:18. But that's not all. God raised Jesus to life again as the ruler of the world. Jesus has conquered death, now gives new life, and will return to judge. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. Well, where does that leave us? The two ways to live. Our way. Reject the ruler, God. Try to run life our own way. Result? Condemned by God, facing death and judgment. God's new way. Submit to Jesus as our ruler. Rely on Jesus' death and resurrection. Result? Forgiven by God, given eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. John 3:36. Which of these represents the way you want to live?
In front of you is a gospel tract called The Essential Jesus. These are always at the back of our church for us to give away and take it free. And so, but at the very back, if you could just reach across to the ones in your pews there, you'll find on page 76, you'll see a gospel outline there, what's just been said to us there in the Gospel of Luke, in here. This is a great little book. It's been around for a long time. It's simply Luke's gospel, and at the back it tells us why Jesus is essential. It's because Jesus is the means by which people are right with God. He is the means by which you have become right with God. And so on page 76 and 77, what you just heard is all there. Please, don't be embarrassed to take one of these home, the ones that are in your pews, all the ones at the door. I've got plenty more. There's hundreds actually in the flower room over here. For us to use and take and share with people that's there. So it's helpful and it's wise for us to be familiar with the gospel, not only to reassure ourselves from God's word of how we are right with God, but how we can actually share that with others. But now we actually turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. So open up your news and notes to the handout that's inside there, or to your Bibles. I'm not sure what page it is on your Bibles. I can quickly find that for you, or someone can call it out. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And we're going to look at these verses together, because these verses remind you of three things. If you say that you are a Christian, if I say that I am a Christian, then these verses describe to you what you were once and what you are now, and how that has come about. If you're not a Christian and you're searching still, it describes what you still are and what can be through what you'll read and what could be for you as a result. The key thing that I want us to go away realizing is the word handiwork, or God's handiwork. And the words grace, which means God's enabling, and a free gift. Those two, that word means both those things. So firstly, let's look at verses 1 through to 4, and I'll read them out to you again as you follow along with me. This is a description of once what we all once were. Or if you're not a Christian, this is what you still are from God's perspective. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We'll stop it there. That's what we once were. It seems rather harsh, doesn't it, to actually hear that? But we need to remember, this is God's universe, God's world. He made it. And if you make something, it belongs to you, doesn't it? If you choose to give it to somebody to look after and enjoy, it then belongs to them, but still mindful of the fact that it was once made by them, by the one who's given it away. And so it is God's world in which we live in. As we remember that very first little picture in The Two Ways to Live, God is the loving ruler over the universe. But mankind chooses to live outside that relationship. And that's what we call basically what's called sin. It's just a simple nature. If you want to know what it is, it's that selfish nature that we have that raises its ugly head more so when we're tired and irritable, all right? We don't think about others. We don't think about God. We don't think about doing the right thing. We just want to do what pleases me, all right? Do a Frank Sinatra. I did it my way, all right? And in fact, we may even gloat about it. I did it my way, all right? That's sin, basically. And it manifests itself in many things. Just like measles. Measles isn't the spots on our arms. It's an inner disease, I'm told by doctors, that manifests itself in the spots around it. Sin is an inner disease, spiritual disease that separates us from God. And in how is mankind described from God's perspective in the light of all of this? It's the fifth word, I think it is, or the sixth word along there. As for you, you were dead in this. Dead. Can dead things bring itself back to life again? Have you walked past that dead bird on the side of the road? All right? Or something that you've seen, or a person, has died. Dead can't bring itself back to life again. Can you see from God's perspectiveness the hopelessness that we have from our perspective in regards to getting ourselves right with God? I can't then say to God, I will work my way, I will do these things, I will be good, I will do all these things for you, God. And then, God, you'll make me your friend, make me right, cover up all my sin. I will show to you that I'm good enough. No, we are dead. Dead things cannot make themselves alive again. A dead thing needs to be brought back to life. And I'm just realizing now why we have the defibrillator up here. Very good idea to remind ourselves today. But dead can't bring itself back to life. God, from God's perspective, we were once dead in our transgressions and sins. And by nature, what were we objects deserving of? Can you see there in verse 3 or 4? What were we objects of? Verse 3 there. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, or separation from God forever. Okay. Some people say, I've got a lot of friends in hell. There's no such thing as friendship in hell. All right, that's a gift from God, friendship. Okay. It's isolation, separation from God forever. We were deserving of that by nature. And there's that wonderful little three-letter word again, isn't it, Glennon? The three-letter word, verse 4, but, all right? But, I love the buts in the Bible, all right? But, look there, this is now the how. Well, this is the defibrillator part of it. This is where someone takes an initiative to bring the dead back to life again. All right, so who chooses? He says, but because of his great love for us, who is the his? God. God, who is rich in mercy. Can someone give me a definition of mercy? What's mercy? Undeserved favor. All right, mercy is that you're guilty, you're deserving of something, but someone who is over the law and above the law, or holding the law, decides to have mercy upon you and say you can be forgiven, all right? But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. Is he poor in mercy? Is it, you know, it's rich. It's a wonderful phrasing of words here. It's abundant. It's not just, you know, it's there. There's plenty of it, right? Rich in mercy. Made us alive with Christ. The word with there is a use of the word with the use of, with, not beside, but with, by the means of, okay? By the means of Christ, his person and his work, we have been made alive. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions and deserving of God's wrath. It is by grace. Again, what's that definition of grace again? God's enabling, freely given. God's enabling, freely given. Not deserved, you know, it's again God's enabling. And that you have been saved. Saved from what? Saved from the mortgage, right? Saved from the in-laws? No, saved from the outlaws? No, saved from what? Saved from God's wrath. Right. He's done it for us to make us right with God. He is the one in his great love for mankind. But not just for mankind. When we read those words in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, put your name there. For God so loved that he gave his only son, that if believes in him, has faith in what who he is and what he's done, will not perish under that wrath, but have everlasting life, forgiveness of sins. Know that they are right with God. But like the man who talks to sell us knives on the television ad, there's more. But there's more. Verse 6. Now, this is a really interesting verse. and, there's another three-letter word that's good, and, but, and, that makes it doubly even better, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, the tense there is again a past action at the time of Christ's death and resurrection. At the moment we put our faith in it, he has raised us up and he has seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ, or with Christ, clothed in Christ. What's the significance of this? It's been done. We're there. We're here, but we're there. From God's perspective, we are right with him. He sees us now in Christ, with him, seated with him, in heaven, willing to joy. It's wonderful. But the thing for you and I to hold on to here, that this is how God sees us from his perspective, and this is the reality. That when I feel like I'm not saved, or when I feel that I'm not right with God, it's silly for me to think that. I'm seated there in the heavenly realms. How can I be there and here and not there? You know, I'm there, I'm right with God because of what Jesus has done on the cross and rising from the dead once and for all. It's been done. There's no doing, it's done, right? Why did he do this? Why did he do this? Well, it's understandable. Verse 7, knowing who God is and the right that God would do this. He's told us it's out of his love and out of his kindness. But to say how good God is, how good he is, in order that in the coming ages, when Christ does return and all things are tied up, and we are there in the heavenly realms, experiencing that in all its fullness in the new creation, in the coming age, he might show to us, he might show, he might make this demonstrate his incomparable riches. There is no one as good and kind and rich in mercy and love towards mankind than God himself. That the world, the universe, history might know this to be true. And he is mindful of all of this when he saved you, when you put your faith in the person and work of Jesus, or when you actually do that, if that's where you're at this stage, tossing up whether to put your faith in Jesus and who he is and what he's done. Finally, just in case for those there who are thinking that, well, you know, what about my good works? What about all these good works? Do I just not do good anymore? No, well, look there at verse 8. When you think it's about good works, when you think it's about being, now don't get me wrong here, next week's sermon will be reminding this, about going to church, all right? Going to Bible study and meeting with other things, it's a good thing to do, but going to church doesn't make you a Christian, like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger, or going into a garage makes you a car, right? You go to church and you meet with other Christians because that's what Christians do. Right? For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this, again, not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Behind the scenes, God enabled you to do this, not by works, so that Trevor can go away and say, look how good I am, God. I deserve to be in heaven. Not him, not her, all right? I've done this, I've done that, I've kept the commandments, I've done all these things. No, not by works, so that no one can boast. For whose handiwork are we? How humbling this is to read. We are God's handiwork. We are God's handiwork. How do we respond to that? We are created in Christ Jesus now to do good works, which God prepared even in advance for us to do, just in case we think that our good works keeps us there, right? We do good works. We do good because it's a way of saying thank you to God. And that's about, And the good works there is not just about doing good things for other people, it's being good to yourself as well. This is called sanctification, allowing ourselves to be more and more like Jesus. And we're going to talk more about that next week together. But what do we do now that we're saved? And how do I respond to this mercy and love and kindness of God towards us? Brothers and sisters and friends, the main thing I'd hope for you to come away with today is again being reminded of the gospel, of how you are right with God, but also to study that and to get to know it clearly, that if you do have doubts, you can actually go back and remind yourselves, and also just as important, if someone actually asks you and God gives you that opportunity, he thinks that you've got the ability to do it, he'll say, how do I get right with God? You can point them to somewhere. You can tell them what you know. But ultimately, your salvation now is secure because of who Jesus is and what he's done. When we start to doubt, we go back to this. I have been made alive with Christ. I am seated in the heavenly realms. It's by grace I have been saved, received by faith. Here I stand. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've left us not up to just ideas about you and how we can be friends with you and know that we're right. You've told us in your word, the Bible. Amen.
Right, we're going to say this psalm together. Psalm 119, it's verses 9 to 16. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, so now and forevermore. Amen. Right, we're going to sing again. Please stand. We'll be visiting We Are His People again.
Thank you.
please remain standing as we say together what we believe about our lives in faith. Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please be seated.
We're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer now. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray that we may grow in the self-sacrificing love of Christ. Father, help us to understand the meaning of your Son's death and resurrection, and teach us to reflect it in our lives. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we gather together this morning knowing your greatest desire is that we should love you with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, and with all our strength. We thank you that you have given us grace, your riches at your expense, so that we may live for you. Creation reflects your glory and turns the eyes of all people to the Creator King. We pray that we will reflect your glory. Help us to remember you at all times. Cultivate in us by your Spirit thankfulness for all your many blessings and a trust in your generous providence in meeting all our needs. Help us to love those whom we come in contact with by choosing to serve rather than to be served, to be wounded rather than to wound, and by bearing patiently with the failings of others, extending to them the same kindness, mercy, and compassion that God in Christ has so graciously offered us in the gift of his precious Son, Jesus. May we delight in all that you do, all that you have created for us, for our benefit and pleasure, and by caring well for all you have given us to steward. We open our hearts to you this morning in praise of your glorious name. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We give you thanks for your worldwide church. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people in every land and the unity we share through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for Christians in other countries, especially where there is suffering, war, persecution, and danger. We pray for all those who have been sent out as your missionaries here and abroad, and we bring before you the work of those that we know who we support in our own church. For the Pharisees with Bush Church Aid, for the Thomases in Thailand, for the Blairs working here in Sydney with refugees. And Heavenly Father, we pray for the work of Anglican chaplains. We particularly bring before you those who are placed into schools. We pray that you will give them the resources that they need to faithfully proclaim your word and to care for those who you've entrusted them to. We also pray for those who are now preparing to teach SRE in schools in the upcoming school year. We pray for Fiona and for Trevor, for Daryl and the members of the Presbyterian Church who also take care of SRE, and for all teachers across Sydney. We ask that you equip them and all your faithful servants for the work they do. Give them patience and perseverance, creativity and the resources and the assurance of your presence. Strengthen your people for their witness and work in the world. Fill your ministers with your spirit that they may faithfully preach the gospel and administer your holy sacraments. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love and proclaim your glory in all the world. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, creator and preserver of our world, give wisdom to those in authority in every land and give to all peoples a desire for righteousness and peace, with the will to work together in trust, to seek the common good and to serve with justice the resources of this earth. We pray for our Australian government that they may work together for the good of all people, that you protect them from the evil one and that they experience your goodness in the hardship of public life. We pray for our leaders that they may work as one so that decisions made will be for the good of all. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless and sustain the life and ministry of this church. We ask you to prosper the work of this church and to unite us all to do great things for your glory and honour. We thank you for the enthusiasm of parents and children in response to the Bible talks at the preschool and for playgroup, and we thank you and ask your blessing upon congregation members involved in Bible studies as they seek to know you more. Help us, O Lord, together to meet the financial obligations of this church, to faithfully pray for our leaders, and to be a force for positive change in your local church here in Abbotsford and surround. We also ask that you continue to pour out your grace, wisdom and blessing upon this congregation. We especially pray for those who are unwell or finding life difficult at this time, and we bring them now to you in prayer. Grant us patience for one another, bearing with one another in love, and enable us to meet each other's needs, fostering us a deep love and care for each other here. Almighty God, all good things come from you. This week, help us to hear your word, that we may know and speak the truth, and to obey your word, that we may honour you in all we do. Deliver us from all that is false, and renew us by your Spirit. Hear our prayers, O Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I don't know how many of you will scour through the news and notes. There are dates in there that may be important. If you ever just have the time to sit down and just note, in this particular one, there are only three dates that are noted, but there are four events that you have to consider that are coming up. So the first date is Friday the 23rd of February, which is next Friday, I think. This coming Friday, 10 a.m. to 1:15 are the hours that are relevant, and it's the Mothers Union Seminar. So if you haven't thought about it yet, really today is the day. If you need to get your name down or let Rosemary know, because she'd love to know if you're going to attend, because there's going to be a lunch at the end if you're staying for that, and it will be held in our foyer. The next one Trevor's going to talk about.
What's this? Do you know where it is? Where is it? Where's the health? Where's it? Whereabouts does it point to? Those of you who know where it is normally, whereabouts is it? Point towards it. Okay, it's near the entrance to the hallway over there. If you are not familiar with how to use one of these, please familiarise yourself. The link is in the bulletin. Just go onto the page and click onto that link, and just it'll take you for a few minutes through how to use one of these. All right? Could save your life and mine, right?
Said it won't. You won't be able to do it to yourself, though. But no, but yeah, that's what has to be. It'd be handy if you could use it on someone else. Let's hope we never have to. But always handy. The next date is not a date, but it's next Sunday. We have an emergency evacuation drill. So if ever you're here and something happens and we need to get out of here, you'll need to know what to do so that there's no panic. So this will be a good thing to run through in a non-emergency situation. If you would like to be contacted by email so that you can pray for others, we do have a prayer chain list that you can add your name to. And it's just if there's somebody going through an issue, you ring, you let, or you email Janice, and she'll pass it on to the prayer chain group, and they will put their heads and minds to prayer and their hearts for whatever it is that's going on with you to give you that support. So if you want to join that group, please let Janice know. Two more dates. Bayswater Gardens, Thursday at 11. There will be a Bible study. If you want to join Trevor there, please let him know. And Friday the 1st of March, so this is a couple of weeks away, World Day of Prayer, which will be held at 5 Uniting Church. So I've read through most of the things for you today, but I will continue with looking at some of the other issues that we do have coming up. For those of you who do give online, thank you. It makes it easy for the counting. If you do give offertory in the box at the back, thank you as well. All of that goes to the running of our programs to support people in their growth in faith and including in our local area. If you'd like prayer after the service today, when the service is finished, the seats over here will be set up for you and young Lan and Brian will pray with you and for you. And after church, we will have morning tea and you can continue in fellowship. Looks like a beautiful day out there. We have the lovely awning now off our foyer so that you can still stand out there in the fresh air and the shade. Okay, we're going to finish with our final song, which is an oldie but a goodie. I Will Sing the Wondrous Story.
The wondrous story of the Christ who
because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Amen.